9 minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is Tuesday morning, the 27th of October. And alhamdulillah, in our program today, we're going to be looking at tech news. That's what we start off our current affairs segment with. And thereafter, inshallah al-aziz, we are going to look at speaking to Hazrat Maulana Yahya Bamsap, and we'll be speaking to Maulana about various issues with regards to personal reformation, etc. Inshallah al-aziz. You know, with tech news, one of the stories that have been making international headlines is the story of a young girl who was manhandled by a police officer in one of the schools in America. And we look at that story and we look at what happened there. And, you know, it's really a concerning issue, a concerning story, where this young girl comes to school. I don't know what exactly happened there. It's Spring Valley High. If you look at it on Twitter and if you search the hashtag, you'll find all of the tweets with regards to that. Apparently, the child was disrupting the class, or for whatever reason, the child was asked by the teacher to leave the classroom. When she ignored the teacher, they called in the administrator. She ignored the administrator, and then they called in a police officer. And this police officer is seen in this video throwing the child backwards. That means dropping the child together with the desk. Thereafter, dragging the child, throwing her across the class, and shouting out, "Give me your hands, show me your hands, show me your hands." And then there was another student who stood up for this student who was manhandled, and she was also arrested. And then the student who recorded the whole incident, now this is why it has to do with our tech news, is that this student then recorded the whole incident. And his name is Tony Robinson Jr. He spoke with News 19 Monday night. That's, well, in the U.S. That was early this morning, about what happened between a student and an officer. And he says it was definitely a scary experience. He says he went into the morning thinking to be normal. And around 10:30 a.m., the girl who had the confrontation with the officer was working on her computer and had her phone out. Said the teacher asked her for her phone, but she said no. An administrator was then called to the room, and Robinson said he pleaded with the girl to get out of her seat, but she didn't. She really hadn't done anything wrong. She said that she had took her phone out, but it was only for a quick second. She said while she didn't comply, Robinson said the girl was apologetic. Then the officer identified as Ben Fields was called to the class. Robinson said when Fields came in, he asked Robinson's friend to move a desk. According to the student, Fields then shut the girl's computer and moved it to another desk. Robinson felt something was wrong and pulled out his phone and began recording. When he saw what was about to happen, my immediate first thing was to think is, let me get this on camera. This is going to be something that not only I'm going to be like, wow, did this really happen at my class? This is something that everybody else needs to see. This is something that we can't let this just pass by. The officer then began speaking with the student. He asked again, will you move, will you move? She said, no, I have not done anything wrong. Then he said, I'm going to treat you fairly. And she said, I don't even know who you are. And that is where it started right there. Moments later, things just turned physical. I've never seen anything so nasty, looking so sick to the point that, you know, other students are turning away, don't know what to do, and are just scared for their lives. Robinson said, that's supposed to be something that's going to protect us, not somebody that we need to be scared of or afraid. That was wrong. There's no justifiable reason for what he did to that girl. And this is a serious allegation. If you look at what actually happened here, and you look at if you look at how this teacher or how this officer handled or manhandled the student, you'll be afraid, you'll be scared. But now The reality, or what we're taking out of it on our text segment, is that this student found the need to take out his cell phone and record the incident. And this recording of what takes place, it is an opportunity, a possibility available to anyone and everyone. And we find this has revealed a serious issue that took place in the school in America. We saw an issue a few months back with a person called Clive Naidu, and how his incident with the police officer, he recorded it, posted it on social media, and there was a big discussion around it thereafter. And then we see many other issues here. We heard about just this last week when there were protests taking place, and how some police officers and some students also were harassing journalists for doing their job and for taking photographs of what was transpiring there. We look at these different issues and look at how they impact our lives. Firstly, in our own social circle, at every event, family gathering, or within our very homes, there are cell phones with cameras and there are people taking photographs. We are taking photographs of ourselves, and we are posting it on social media in different forms, in different manners, different ways. So all of that information is coming out into the open. But it also teaches us something, that we need to be careful of our behavior and careful of our conduct. And also it is a reminder that these little cameras that are videoing us and putting it out into the open, we actually need to be more concerned, more cautious, and more conscious about the ever-watching eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of every single move and every single act that we are doing all of the time, whether there is a camera or not. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we are doing, what we are going through, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly every moment of our lives. And so we need to remain conscious of that and realize that while this videoing and cell phone images are bringing things out into the open, everything was already known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of everything. So that's the lesson that we take out of this story. Then a few other stories in tech news. Car of the future has airbags on the outside. This is an interesting story. Toyota will be showing off the car tech of the future. This is Tokyo Car Show. Sorry, not Toyota, it's Toyoda Gosei. It's a Japanese company known for its plastics, LED and car safety technology. They'll be unveiling the FLES-B, a concept vehicle for the ultra-small mobility cars that Toyoda Gosei thinks will be on the streets by 2030. The FLES-B's most notable feature, apart from its small size, is that it's entirely encased in external airbags, which it will deploy when an impending collision is detected. Toyota will also be showcasing numerous internal safety features and technologies, such as the Signal Cockpit Link, which uses LEDs to recreate the environmental lighting in view outside the vehicle in a stunning internal panorama. And the futuristic interior is also purported to sense the driver's mood and posture, which in turn then be used to alter the interior, including lighting, music, and ambiance. So that is one new thing. Car surrounded with airbags on the outside, making it safer, obviously, for pedestrians, and safer for the driver themselves as well. Okay, so that is one issue there. Then police say teenager arrested over TalkTalk hack. Now, what is TalkTalk? TalkTalk is an app, and where people obviously put in their private information, etc. It's something to do with social media, and a teenager has managed to hack their systems, and 4 million customers were thought to be at risk, with experts calling on authorities to investigate as urgently as it would for a large-scale physical theft. So if you are a subscriber to TalkTalk, which I don't think is known in the country, in South Africa, at all, but you would be affected by that. World Health Organization, they've found that bacon gives you cancer. This global health study condemns processed meat. World Health Organization has classified processed meat as officially carcinogenic after review of evidence that it can cause certain types of cancer. World Health Organization said that according to most available evidence, just 50 grams of processed meat per day, that's two slices of bacon or two small sausages, is enough to increase the risk of developing colorectal cancer by 18%. Though that is a relative increase, 118% of something unlikely, still unlikely. It is still a significant increase. Who added that red meat was also probably carcinogenic, but said the evidence was not yet conclusive. And this is particularly with regards to pork-related products. And this is a serious thing. Eating a bacon wrap every once in a while isn't going to do much harm. They're saying having a healthy diet is all about moderation. This is what they want to try and downplay. But we know the reality that pork is haram. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the pig as najis. Najis meaning that something that is impure. And not only the meat of the pig is impure, but every part of its body is impure. The skin beneath the skin, the hair, the hooves, the bones, the flesh. Every single part of this pig is impure, and we need to ensure that we don't consume or use pig or pork related products in any way whatsoever. And very often the South African National Halal Authority, SENHA, gives us warnings, and they enlighten us and remind us about the baking brushes that people use that are made with bristles, and bristles is pig hair, and people use that to spread the egg on their baking products, and spread butter, etc., on their baking. And you'd be very careful about that, and you have many alternatives, silicone plastic brushes that are available at the cooking shops and at the kitchen shops, etc. So you need to use what alternatives you have available instead of using bristles. Then you have the leather shoes. Some of them have are made of pigskin jackets. Then obviously all of the ingredients that are used in different sweets and different food products, etc. The best is to seek advice from SENHA and ask them if you are in doubt with regards to any particular product, any particular item, and they will give you advice. And if they do not know, then obviously they are going to research it and advise you about it later on, inshallah aziz. So you need to be very, very careful of that, and stay far away from pork completely, because of the basic verse of the Quran Kareem that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned pig as najis. And then we look at workplaces. We all like to earn money, but where do we work? And this is an interesting story. Google is known for their excellent workspaces. What do they have? The Sydney Google office has a music studio, billiard table, rock climbing wall, and an area dedicated to doing puzzles. There's a chill-out room decked with greenery and a water feature for staffers to have a quick nap. A room of requirement is also located behind a secret bookcase with a creepy skeleton behind the door. On Monday, Google introduced its impressive two new Nexus Android phones called Marshmallow. So that is not related to the workspace or work environment at all. But You have different rooms where they allow you to play video games. You have a billiard room where you can go and play. They have a full restaurant and cafes in their offices. And they have a cinema there. You have all these different types of gaming places. And it's a beautiful, or it's very friendly and simple, or we could rather call it a very work-friendly environment. And you can really enjoy working there if you find a job there. That is that is the first question, whether you're even going to get a job there. But nevertheless, looking at a work environment and the places that we actually work in, and you see South African companies are trying to keep up. They're trying to make things interesting. And, you know, the other day driving through Sandton, you see some of the glass buildings. They have gyms in them. They have, you know, beautiful work environment set up. And that is all for the comfort of the workers. Now, what lesson are we going to draw out of this is firstly the lesson of staff and people who work for you. Make their work environment comfortable, encourage them, work with them, and inshallah aziz, you are going to make it, you know, encourage your workers to work better, and they are going to be motivated to do better work for you, inshallah aziz. Second thing is that by keeping a good work environment, or having a good work environment as a worker and as somebody who is employed, as an employee, you need to maintain the amana, the trust that you have been granted at your workspace and at your workplace. For example, you don't use things without permission, and you need to know what the parameters, what the laws are, what the laws are for working there. And for example, you take the use of the photocopy machine, if you are using it for personal gains, or the printers, if you're using it for personal printing, is it allowed? How much is allowed? The internet usage, using it for personal use, is it allowed? How much is allowed? And all of those different types of things which is possible, even the time that you are at work, how much of it can you use for your personal needs, and how much of it, how much of your time are you meant to dedicate to the actual task at hand. And all of these things need to be recognized, they need to be identified, and you need to be well aware of it and maintain the trust and amana with regards to that, inshallah aziz. 27 minutes to 12, welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and a very warm welcome this morning to our guest, Hazrat Mawlana Yahya Bamsab. Mawlana Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana.
How are you keeping this morning, Mawlana?
Shukr, khudai paak, Allah shukr, alhamdulillah, very well.
Alhamdulillah, Allah shukr. Mawlana, last week we didn't have our program. It was prior to the days of Ashura and the 10th of Muharram, and unfortunately we could not have our program, but perhaps you could just touch on that a little bit in the starting today.
Mawlana, yes, very good. We need to really and seriously touch the 10th of Muharram and related matters, especially on the 10th of Muharram, 40 years after the demise of Rasulullah SAW. A very significant matter did happen in the plains of Karbala, and that is the Shahadat of Sayyidina Hussein, and we call him Sayyiduna, or we call him Hazrat Hussein, but the belief of the Shia people is Imam Hussein, and the matter of Imamat is a matter that we need to talk about, because there is a lot of confusion amongst people. And really the Shia matter is something that needs to be exposed, well understood. People need to know. On the one side, yes, Iran did stand up against America, whether it was at a full level or whatever levels. And after that which America has done, after the way they have demonized Islam and continuously troubled the Muslims in so many different fields. It might be that people's feelings are almost with anybody that stands up to America. And we don't blame them for that. And because Iran did that, and that is what Khomeini made his slogan for some time, therefore people do tend to want to stand with them. But the reality, the story behind the reality is that this is not the truth. But all right, let us not go into that angle on the political scene. On the other side, with regards, we must not believe the political stance and the political appearance and the army might of the Iranian people. We need to differentiate that and, on the other side, the religion of the people, and that is Shiism. That if we differentiate the two, then yes, with regards to the political stance and with regards to their strength and might, we might want to admire them, or there will be those people that will have good to say about it. But with regards to the Shia religion, that's another matter. That is something very serious. Like very often people will speak about that, leave the Jews and separate them from Zionism. And really, there are many Jews that are opposed to what Zionism is teaching. You need to separate the two. In the very, very same way, Maulana, we need to separate Shiism and this political stance, Maulana.
Yes, there has to be a complete separation so that we can have a clear picture.
Yeah.
And that is the important part, that because it is mixed, we are so clouded in our understanding of it that sometimes we're mixing it up.
Definitely, Maulana. And then, when we look at the Shia religion, if we have to magnify and go into the beliefs of the Shia religion, Maulana, if it is one or two little matters where the differences are, or it is a few petty items that we need to sort out and talk about, then it is a very different thing. But this religion, this Shiism, is something that is far out of any range. I mean, for a moment, Maulana, we might even side and stand by with Hindus or with Christians or with Jews, because there is some structure and some format. But with regards to the Shia religion, Maulana, there is no structure, no format based on lies. And such type of quotations, such beliefs in the kitabs, Allahu Akbar, if we have to go into that and make that a discussion, I mean, a long time it will take. The taqiyya on the one side, the belief with regards to Sayyidina Ali, the belief with Sayyidina Hussein, and then it just goes on, the belief in Allah, and that the wahi, if you have to start off, the wahi has been delivered to the wrong person. If to such an extent, in the authentic kitab of this, it is written that Allah Ta'ala called Nabi Karim Sahasam 3 times for Mi'raj. And what was the maqsad of Mi'raj? What was the maqsad? There's a belief of this. And in an authentic kitab it's written that what was the reason for the Mi'raj in 3 Mi'rajas? He was called and he was scolded by Allah Ta'ala that why aren't you declaring the truth with regards to Ali and that he is supposed to be in whatever positions, etc. On the other side, this is with regards to the Mi'raj, that Nabi Karim Sassam was called and scolded at, that he must declare the wilayat and the uluwiyat of Sayyidina Ali. And further the belief is that the Christians, they believe in Hazrat Isa as the Son of God. Do they know where do we hold Hazrat Ali? He is equal to God. Then they go further. With regard to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, why was Sayyidina Adam dropped out from Jannah? Is there any reason why was he taken out? Hazrat Adam was taken out from Jannah because he did not accept Sayyidina Ali as a superior, and he felt bugs against Sayyidina Ali, so he was thrown out of Jannah. And Mawlana, like that, it goes on, Mawlana.
Allahu Akbar. These types of beliefs that they hold, Mawlana, how does it influence? We, alhamdulillah, have a strong foundational understanding of our deen, of our aqidah, and how do these type of beliefs then start infiltrating our community and society and converting people?
Mawlana, there are other attractions they have covered the whole thing with. They've sugar-coated it. One of the sugar quotations that many university students find very appealing, and that is the muta that they will propose to the young men and women. And in that jawani, in that youth, they will easily fall for that concept of muta. Young girls that they are looking at, why not arrange a temporary 1-2 hours or a one day marriage and enjoy each other, and then you are on your way, I'm on my way, and then the rewards that they have portrayed for the doing of muta, that is beyond comprehension, but young people fall for it, Mawlana.
So those type of attractions, we can call it, or sugarcoating is what draws the masses, and then they are then drawn or brought into these completely fabricated and completely false beliefs.
Definitely. Then, Mawlana, we go further. There are those very sincere ones that are very, very angry with what the kuffar in the West is doing, and then politically they feel that yes, this is a platform, this is where it's happening from, and that is the way they approach the whole thing, and they get washed away. Then there are those that that get very badly tackled with the monetary approach, Mawlana. There is a lot of money. The Shah of Iran, when he was in power, then at that time, he had investments in South Africa, in the Sasol and etc. Huge investments. But I'm saying so that people are aware, and they need to open their eyes, and they need to be mindful, and let money not take over. When the Shah of Iran had money here, then when he collapsed, and the new regime came in, then the South African government was not prepared to allow them to withdraw all that huge monies that were invested in South Africa. So, alright, although it was not taken away, it still belonged to them, but they could not extract all that money at one go. So, this condition and understanding was reached that that money can be utilized in South Africa to promote their ideology and their religion. And the result is today, anybody that that wants to propagate and work with them will easily be funded as long as you propagate their ideology, Shiism. And that is what is happening. Unfortunately, in our townships, many a youth, many a people are being enticed through this, and they are accepting, they going on. We have a huge wave of this type of challenge which is very soon going to hit us. And that is these youth that they've taken to either go and study in Kumb or any of these institutions, and they are training them. They've bought farms in certain areas, and that is where they are training them, Mawlana. And Allah save those that have iman, Allah will save them. But we can see another attack that is on the Sunnis from the Shias. If they did call that they are the readers of the Khalifa like we are, we need to stand together. Now the whole mask has been pulled off their face when they are doing what they are doing in the Arab countries. In Syria especially, the way massacre, the way torture and killing, I mean, the value of life is no more. We have seen clips coming through, the taking of tankers and driving them over those Sunnis that are laying, then shooting them at close range for the sake of wanting to shoot. That is all coming out. And not only are some people, the world is seeing what they are doing, Mawlana.
Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make hifaz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Mawlana, how do we protect ourselves as the community, as the Muslims of South Africa?
Time has come where we speak about this, we let it be known, Mawlana. We need to speak openly, we need to let them know the martaba of Sahaba Ikram, because that is what they will normally do. They will attack the Khulafa'i Rashidin and Sahaba, and at the same time, we need to expose these positions and get the authentic kitabs of this Al-Kafi, etc., and keep it on our shelves and let those that want to know from their kitab what is the belief, where are we, what do we need to do.
Mm-hmm. And yes, this is the direction that obviously we need from our ulama, definitely, and we need that information and how to digest that information also. That is the important part. We need that from our ulama.
Mawlana, last week they had in Madrasa Zakaria a whole workshop with regards to the passing over of the information to the ulama that had attended there. What is and how is and where is the Shiism? Alhamdulillah, if any of the ulama, any persons want these details, they can obtain it from Madrasa Zakaria, Mawlana.
Yes, yes. Inshallah, Aziz. That was a very, very interesting program, and it was definitely a very well-organized, beautiful program that was of great benefit. I know I attended on Saturday as well, and there was lots of information to digest. Definitely a worthwhile program to attend there. Mawlana, when we speak about these different aspects and different sects, sometimes a question will come up that is it necessary to speak about these things? Is it necessary to bring it out in the public when it hasn't been affecting us? And many people will feel like that, it hasn't been affecting us at all. Why must it now suddenly be brought out in public and made a major issue?
Mawlana, when we were in the 60s and 70s, even 80s, 90s, at that time Shiism was not a common thing, and whatever was happening in Iran was happening in Iran. And in those years, surely we were told, be cautious, let it not be that you start creating a new type of a worry or a discussion or involvement when it is not here. Now, Mawlana, the story is not like that. We are here in Indonesia on the 10th of Muharram. They had the Taja parading through the streets, and a lot of people, in the ignorance, they don't know. We will be sinful if we don't openly speak about the Shiism, what it is, and where it's going to, what is happening amongst our youth, what's happening in the colleges, what is happening in the schools, and it is beginning to spread, and it needs to be spoken about. If we don't let the youth know, if we don't allow the masses to know. And if we continuously do this like a false portrayal that it's not there, shy away from it, then unfortunately we'll have to regret, Maulana. If they openly have such days where they're going to be doing the cursing of Sayyidina Aisha and the first three Khulafa, and then, and with social media, with social media, it is all the time. I mean, people will open the internet and will get much on the one side what wrong they are doing, on the other side belief from their side, and how they will, in the name of Sayyidina Hussein, where they will portray that the remembrance of Hussein is a thawab and a good thing to do, etc. We also saw many julus of this type that they are doing at the moment, Maulana.
This has happened now over this last weekend because of the 10th of Muharram, and lots of local South African people also got involved because of the influence and because of what we could call the creeping influence in our community and within South African Muslims. So to bring it out into the open and to discuss it and to make it an issue is very important, because it is only when an issue is tackled directly, bull by the horns, that is when inshallah Aziz we hope that people can take heed and can save themselves before they unconsciously or subconsciously get drawn and lured in.
Initially, Maulana, that is what it was, where we held back and did not make it an issue, but now the time has come where we need to flood the masses with this information so that they are aware and they open their eyes, Maulana.
Mm-hmm. People have to be made aware of it. Yes, very, very true, Maulana.
Sahih. And let it not be that you hold back or someone holds back in this matter now. Until now, as I said, we were mindful. Why flood the minds of the people with things, with non-issues, when there is better things for them to know? And I mean, how often was this not said, that why must we talk about minor matters when people's iman is at stake, when people are beginning to look at Christianity and other religions, and people don't know the faraiz and basics? Where are you going to talk about these things that are beyond our borders? But it no longer is that way, Maulana. It is something that is hitting us. It is something that is amongst people. It is something that our own children are beginning to look at. It's an easy way, Maulana. In the yesteryear, when men and women would get together and people spoke about, I was told that men and women would get together on a Saturday evening, their keys, car keys, would be dropped in a bowl, and the one who picks up whichever keys takes that woman and sleeps. Husband and wife come, but they will swap wives. And that was those that were very badly involved in wrongdoing, and everyone looked at it as an evil, and they knew it's a haram, and nafs was taking over. Today, the very same act is happening through muta, and it is thought of as a great sawab, great reward. You will get the martaba of Sayyidina Hussein, you do once muta. Sayyidina Ali and Rasulullah, two times muta. And three times muta, you are straight in Jannah. These type of matters, if they are being flooded in the market there, people are doing it, Maulana. So that is how it creeps in. You start believing one or two things, and then you go further until a time comes when you sweat in this evil and batil and darkness and kufr, Maulana.
Allahu Akbar. I believe there is a great increase in these type of proposals and these type of activities in the university circles, Monera?
In the universities, or wherever, people can easily, and shaitan thus takes over, Monera.
Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us hidayat. And it is, if we protect our iman and make sure that our iman is secure and strengthen our basic yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah we should be protected from these type of erroneous beliefs.
Maulana, when it is kufr, when it is guna, and when it is darkness, and people know it is kufr, guna, and darkness, then even if you're doing a certain wrong, you will, at a time will come when you will make tawbah, you will turn away, you will realize that this was wrong, I need to now leave this wrong. But if a person starts looking at it as a practice of deen, as a matter wherein he will get thawab, as part and parcel of his akhirat preparation, then he's going to do all these wrongs and he's going to think of it as a correct thing to do. Now this is what Shiism is. It brings about all this kufran and batil and darkness in the name of religion, Maulana.
Mm-hmm. That is the problem. That is the difficulty that we have. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us.
Amen.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the strength to recognize and realize what is right from what is wrong.
Inshallah. Jazakallah, Maulana.
Assalamu alaikum
warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Alaikum assalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. This is Hazrat Maulana Yahya Bamsab speaking to us with regards to the scourge of Shiism. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and guide us all. Shukran to my studio operator, Brother Osama, this morning, and to you for listening from Junaid Jasad. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.